Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let me pray and we'll get started. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you're so good. You're here. And I thank you, Lord, that you want us to receive everything you've already given us, Lord. So we're here to receive, Lord, today. We are here to receive. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you're for us. We thank you, Lord, we have a good Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everyone here is going to have ears to hear and hearts to receive, including myself. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak directly to our hearts today. I thank you, Lord, you're going to speak directly to us and you're going to show us exactly what we need to hear in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, if you've got your Bibles, turn to, this is Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. I'm going to tell you a story about two women. Dangerous territory. Luke 10, 38. This is the story of Mary and Martha. And you know this story, but we're going to read it. And I believe the Lord's going to bring some things out that are going to help you. So Luke 10:38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village." So the disciples are going down, walking, traveling. And it says they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. So Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. That's another whole lesson there. And like the word Marcus gave, you know, we need to welcome Jesus into our houses. We need to welcome Jesus into every area of our lives. And it's so powerful how Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And this is where the story starts. So she welcomes Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. This is verse 39. Now watch this now. She had a sister called Mary. And listen to this. This is verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. You see that there? Who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That tells me that Martha was sat at Jesus' feet with Mary. So here's Martha and Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to the teaching of Jesus, receiving from Jesus, sat at Jesus' feet. But, there's that but again. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, let me read the story and I'll come back. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Verse 42, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We started full-time, Terry Des Ministries, launched out a year ago, and April 2017. And the first thing God told me was spend time just praying and just spending time with me. So I've got a basement. I created a basement office. It was a spare guest room, but it's no longer a guest room. Now it's an office. It was the headquarters. We've moved since then. But anyway, the Terry Des Ministries headquarters, about, I don't know what that office is, that 9x9 office down in the basement with low ceilings. And if you stand on your tiptoes, you just about see if I cut the grass, you can just about see Pike's Peak through the window. So it's very glamorous down there. We had a flood once and it still smells a little musty. So anyway, this is Terry Des Ministries. So the Lord told me, spend time with me, spend time with me, spend time with me. And I'm always hesitant to say how much time, because then people start making a doctrine of it. Because I heard one guy once years ago, and he said, "I get up an hour early every morning. Every morning I get up an hour, I give the first hour to God. Every morning, get up an hour early." And he was a leader, and this is in England, and I thought, I was aspiring. This guy, you know, I want to aspire to be like him. I was like, I need to spend an hour with God every morning. And what happened was, you know, I'd read the Bible, and I'd even worship God and pray in the Holy Ghost and things like that. And then I was like, it's my time to spend an hour in prayer. Because he said, you've got to be in prayer. So I'd sit there and I'd be like, okay, and I'd start talking to God in prayer. And I tell you, if I didn't know better, God was disappointed with it as well. Because it was like, after I thought it was an hour, I thought, 5 minutes, 55 minutes to go. I'd fall asleep and then feel condemned. So anyway, I don't tell you how much time God told me to spend with him, but it was a decent amount of time just praying and just sitting at Jesus' feet. And do you know what I did? I started to, and then I was like, yeah, but we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and we've got to do this. And I made excuses. And I was like, yeah, you know, how many have been there? How many have been there? If someone doesn't do something, then nothing's going to happen. You've got to make it happen, people, right? If you're a woman and people come to your house, how about that? Unexpected guests come to your house. I used to do this a lot in England. I've learned my lesson. I don't do it so much here, but I'd like open the front door. Hey, honey, I'm home with 15 friends. As we walk through into the house. And it's an amazing thing, though, that Carly could, I guess it's that chest freezer. She'd open that chest freezer up and she could knock up a meal for 25 people in half an hour. It was amazing. But my point is, Martha's there and all these people, the disciples, Jesus had come to her house. And she was meant to be sat at Jesus' feet. She started out sat at Jesus' feet, receiving from Jesus, receiving the word, because that's what it was all about. Why do you think they're all gathered at her house? Why do you think they're all together to hear God's word, to hear Jesus speaking, to hear the word of God? So they sat at Jesus' feet hearing the word of God. And guess what happened? Because of the distractions. Because Martha's there listening and she started to receive. Then she looked around. There's all these people not going to get fed. All these people might go hungry. Now, I'm reading into this. I'm reading between the lines. This is, I guess, Andrew Womack's is Andeology. So maybe I can say Ashleyology. It's more of a tongue twister, Ashleyology. But you don't have to believe this. This is what I'm thinking. Maybe Martha got to thinking about, what will they think about me? This is my house and I haven't even fed them. Haven't even got them a cup of coffee. Haven't even got them anywhere. You know, they haven't even got somewhere to sit. I need to go up and get some more chairs out. I need to do this, I need to do that. Maybe she started to think, I'm a bad host. I'm not doing very good. What are people going to think of me? And she got up. Whatever it was, she got distracted with much serving. And here's the thing, if you're reading this, she got distracted with much serving. It wasn't like she was distracted by sin. It wasn't like she was distracted because she was going after trying to do something wrong. She was distracted with good. She was being distracted because she was going out to serve. She was trying to help the situation. Because of her love for Jesus and the love for people, she was running around serving them and she got distracted. So what happened was she got distracted because she left the feet of Jesus. And listen to this. She come back and then she starts complaining. Jesus, aren't you concerned about this? Look at my sister slacking off, sat at your feet, listening to the teaching. And there's me doing all the running around. Anyone ever feel, don't raise your hands if you're married and they sat next to you. And my spouse or my co-worker or someone leader in ministry slacking off. You know, I had to get over myself that, you know, spending time with God is not slacking off. Amen. Spending time with God. In fact, let me take it even further than that. This is this. Jesus said in verse 42, but one thing is needed. So Jesus made this statement, one thing is needed. So he was saying in this situation, there was people running around, there was people, you know, crowds hungry, people in a house. We don't know how many people were in a house. It depends on what study you do, but some people said it could have been 20, but it could have been up to 200 people in a house. Okay, so he's running around like, got to make this happen. But Jesus said only one thing's needed, sit at my feet. One thing's needed, sit at my feet, listen to my word, listen to God's word. And I know it's cliche because we say it all the time, but God's word, which is Jesus, right? The word became flesh, is all we need. And you say, well, but hang on, Ashley. There's still hungry people. There's still people that needed food. There's still people that needed serving. There's still physical needs to take care of. Well, let me take you to another story that happened just after this. Turn your Bibles to, this is John 14. Oh, no, it's not. This is, I was just testing you. This is John 6. John 6:5. John 6:5. Again, familiar story, right? So they're out, Jesus is teaching. He said, he lifted up his eyes, John 6:5, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that they may eat? But this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. So he was, you know, Jesus, I won't go into this, we haven't got time, but Jesus was coaching these disciples. It's fascinating. When you read the Gospels, just watch how Jesus coached the disciples. It was like the whole, you know, watch me do it. Now, let's do it together. Now, you go and do it on your own. And that's what he was doing a lot of the time. And he was asking them questions. Jesus never asked a question because he needed the answer. He was asking the question because he wanted to know, you know. Well, I guess sometimes he did because he was still operating as a man. He was 100% man, even though he was still 100% deity. But, you know, most of the time when he was talking to the disciples, he was trying to find out what was in their heart. So Philip said to him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone may have a little to eat. So everyone may have a little to eat. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Jesus said to them, make the people sit down. Make the people sit down. Make the people sit down. This time it was 5,000 with women and children. Could have been 10, 15,000 people. Probably 100 times worse of a problem than Martha had a little earlier. Okay? This is a much bigger problem. And Jesus said, sit the people down. And let them listen to my instructions. Sit the people down and let them listen to my instructions. I'm here to tell you, people, Jesus has your answers. Amen. And this session, I believe, is called Abundance, or Accessing the Abundance. I'm telling you, there is no real abundance outside of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the abundance of God. Jesus is our abundance. So when we go out, and I've been guilty of this myself, going out trying to make something happen, and part of me struggles to teach this. I said yesterday, I haven't taught this before this way, because usually I teach people, you know, it's God's will for us to prosper, amen, and we've got to put our hand to something, and we've got to be good stewards, and you know, we've got to give and all that, and that's all in balance. But ultimately, if we're not sat at Jesus' feet, if we're not listening to the Word of God, if we're not doing what the Word of God tells us, if we're not doing what Jesus tells us, then we're going to miss it every time. And we can make something happen. You can't make anything happen on your own. Don't even try it. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How does nothing look like? Not very good. And it might seem like it's good, but it's with sorrow. It's not going to work out. Jesus has instructions. He has specific instructions for you to get abundance to you. He has instructions in his word, and then through his Holy Spirit, he can tell you exactly what to do and when to do and when not to do it. And in my life, the greatest times that we've received abundance in the area of finances in particular has been when God's given me a particular word and said, do this. And I'm like, you sure, Lord? He says, do this. I'm like, okay, yes, Lord, I'll do it. My friend Greg Moore says, no, Lord, is an oxymoron, right? That's an oxymoron. So when God tells you to do something, you say, yes, Lord. Yes, sir. But it doesn't work out. It doesn't look like it's logical. It doesn't matter. You don't have to think about how it's going to work out. Just say, yes, Lord. And it's as simple as that. So right here, we see another, you know, what happened was, Jesus told them all sit down at his feet, sat down at his feet. I'm going to skip through real quick. Jesus took the loaves, and when he gave them thanks to them, distributing them, that's another whole lesson, that he gave thanks for those few loaves and few fish. And sitting down, and likewise of the fish, he gave thanks. And they those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So he distributed them to the people sitting down. The people sitting down were given the loaves and the fish. And as they ripped them, abundance came. As they passed them out, abundance came. The abundance kept on coming, as they said, and they took as much as they want. Remember what Carly said in the last session? Not what they needed, as much as they wanted. Yeah. See, Philip said, well, we could buy some. Maybe we could, you know, he was working it out. Maybe if we could get this much money, we could buy enough just for a little bit. And he said, I don't think we've even got enough money for them to buy a little, you know, buy food just for them to have a little bit to eat. In another one of the Gospels, it said, you know, it's a deserted place. The time is late. You know, they need to eat. It's getting serious, but they could have a little bit. No, Jesus let them take as much as they wanted. I'm here to tell you, Jesus' abundance is limitless. Jesus' abundance is as much as you want. As much as you want. He says, come and take as much as you want. The only limitation is, are we going to take, or are we just going to sit there and not do it? Are we going to run around and try and make it happen ourselves? These people sat there, and they were able to take them loaves and fish and eat as much as they wanted. Therefore, they gathered them up. Look, what about this? Right. So this is verse 12. So they were filled, and he said, so they were filled, verse 12. They were filled. They didn't just take a little bit. They were filled. Now they were filled. And a lot of these people would have been fishermen, worker, you know, manual working men. 5,000 of them were filled. I don't know if you've seen men eat. We can eat. Been to one of those buffets, you see people eat. They can eat. And when I go to a buffet, I want all I can eat, because that's what it should be, right? All you can eat. All you can eat. They ate all they could eat. This was the original all-you-can-eat buffet. They were filled. They were filled so much. So get this. God's abundance, when we sit at his feet. Now, I haven't got to teach you this, hopefully, but hopefully we're on the same page. It's God's will for us to abound in every area. Yes. It's God's will for us to be healed. It's God's will for us to be prosperous. Okay, and just in case there was a few people, I wasn't we sure about that. Okay, real quickly. So Jesus paid it all. On the cross of Jesus, he took everything. He took our sin, he took our sickness, he took our poverty, he paid it all. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. That's physical riches. That's rich on earth. That's a financial verse inside a financial chapter. That's talking about rich. So Jesus came not just to forgive our sins and make us the righteous of God, praise God, not just to heal us and make us the healed of the Lord, but also to prosper us and give us our resources that we need, praise God. Not just what we need, that what we want, praise God. So, good, I'm glad we squared that away. So that's the gospel, by the way. That's the gospel. People say, oh, actually, I don't know. No, that's the gospel. And most people that don't like that is because they're, you know, they've got, anyway. There's a reason why they don't like it. I'm not going to teach on that today because I'm up against the wall here with time. So I'm telling you, God is limitless. And what happens is the lie we believe is there's lack. We believe there's lack in the world. We believe there's a lack of resources, a lack of money, a lack of food. I'm here to tell you there's no lack. Did you know I did a study? There's enough resources in the world to feed the whole world as much as they want. Not what they need, as much as they want. Well fed the whole world's population 2.5 times over. Google it. And I'm like, how can this be? And I heard this doctor wrote this paper, and he said the reason why, and this is not Christian, this is just completely worldly point of view. The reason why the world as a whole, world governments and everything else, we're sold this lie, there's lack. One of the reasons is because if we really believed there was enough food for 2.5 times the people in the world's population, then we won't be able to sleep at night. I mean, like the Western civilization have to do something about it. Developing countries would have to do something about it, but they believe a lie, there's not enough resources. There's not enough food, not enough this, not enough that. And that's why. So that's just from a worldly point of view. That's not including God. That's just the world's resources, what God set up. I'm saying there's no limit with God. God is limitless. God is limitless, and he has limited resources for us. Let's go to, let me read you Mark 4 real quick. Mark 4 is the parable of the chapter, parable of the sower. God the Father is sowing the word. The ground is our hearts, and the seed is the word of God. And there's 4 types of ground. And we know the story, hopefully, but you can study it on your own. It's one of the most important parables. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the other parables? First type of ground, the devil comes and he steals the word right away because there's no foundation. The second, it grows up, but the heat scorches it and it dies right away because it's got no root. The third type of ground, I believe, is where the majority of the body of Christ are living today. The third type of ground, in Mark 4, Jesus explains there's something, the thorns come in and choke the word. And there's 3 things that choke the word. Carly touched on it. In her message, but there's 3 things that choke the word: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. You can look it up in Mark 4:19. And here's the thing: lack will speak to us. The cares of this world. That in Luke 10, what was reading about Martha, that very thing that said she was troubled with much working, that is exactly the same phrase as cares of this world. She was troubled with the cares of this world. It distracted her and took her away from Jesus. I'm telling you what, the whole point of lack mentality is to take us away from the Word of God. We start thinking there's a lack. We start thinking we've got to make something happen. It might be a lack of time, lack of resources, lack of money. But we think we've got to do something, and we get off on the Word of God. Everything we need is in the Word of God. And there is a limitless abundance of resources for his believers. 100%. There's no limit to his resources. The next verse, verse 20, this is Mark 4. Mark 4, did you find it? Mark 4, I didn't yet. Mark 4, verse 20, said, but these are the fourth type of ground. So I can my book actually, that's good timing. My book teaches on Mark 4:19 about what the cares of this world, the deceitfulness and lust of riches, and the lust for other things are, as well as other things. But this this verse here, I'm not going to teach on 19. This verse here is what I want to show to you. Verse 20, the fourth type of the ground. These are the ones sown on good ground. The ones who hear the word, sit at Jesus' feet, hear the word. That's what they do first. They hear the word. They accept it. Not only have you got to hear the word, you've got to accept it. I love what Carly was saying about, you know, it's you let not your heart be troubled. You have the choice. We have the choice. And this is something I'm walking daily. I'm doing this daily. This is something I have the choice to accept God's word for me or not. You have the choice to accept God's words. First of all, you've got to hear it. Well, praise God, you're coming out here on a snowy day on a Saturday. You're hearing the word of God. So you get to hear the word of God. So that's good, praise God. That's hats off to you. You're already hungry for the word. Or maybe just hungry for the lunch we're going to provide you. I don't know. But either way, you're hungry for the word. So it's not going to be that good a lunch. So don't worry about it. but you're hungry for the word. And you know what? That's awesome. But you've got to accept it. You can't just be hungry. You've got to accept it as well. So not only do you hear the word, you've got to accept the word. And watch this. And then the word bears fruit. Now watch this. The word bears fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. The word bears fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Now I used to believe that the 30, 60, 100 is times, right? 30, 60, 100 times. In fact, I've believed that a lot, and I've actually seen that happen to us. We've given, and we've actually sown seed in the form of finances and seen 100-fold return. It's been awesome, praise God. It's been. I remember one time, you may have heard this story, but I was sat right there where Marcus and Sharon are sat, and Pastor Lawson jumped up, the pastor here, senior pastor at Caris Christian Center, and he said, we're one payment away from paying this mortgage off on this building. This was about 5 years ago. And I was stood right then, I thought, I'd like to be debt-free, but I've got two mortgages. I can't be debt-free at the moment. But the Holy Spirit said to me, well, you want to be debt-free? He said, you can make the church debt-free. How about you make someone else debt-free? So I was like, that's interesting. So pastor came off the stage. I said, I'd like to make the last mortgage payment. I'll make that last mortgage payment. And he said, well, come and see me Monday. So I went to bed that night, and I thought, all of a sudden, I didn't ask how much it was. Couldn't sleep. Cold sweats. Tossing and turning. I'm thinking, I'm just going to have to ask for him to release me from this oath. Or I'm going to have to get like a second job. Sell one of the kids. This is serious. I gave him my word. I gave him my word that I was going to pay the mortgage off. So I came to see him on Monday, and he said, it's $3,300. I thought, we can do that. Now, it's a stretch. We did it, though. Wrote the check, gave it to the church. And then I haven't got time to go into the whole story, but let me tell you, supernatural. I'm talking about a lady from my hometown in England, little hometown in England, flew to Denver, Colorado, hadn't heard of Andrew Womack, hadn't heard of Charis Barker, hadn't heard of any of this. Flew to Denver, Colorado, met up with a guy that I also knew. Holy Spirit told me, go and see this guy, he's got your answer. And before you know it, $100,000 comes into me supernaturally, and I pay my house off here right here in Rock Rimmon. And hang on one second, it gets better. And my house was valued a couple of years ago, and it's right at $330,000, paid off. Now, things like that, that's a 100-fold return, or 10-fold return, 100-fold, have you look at it. I was like, that's pretty cool, that's times. But you know what, it's not about times. It's not about times, it's fold. So I did some research on fold. If anyone's done some research on the fold, I did some research on some fold. Let me show you how limitless God's resources are. And this will mess with your mind, because it's messing with my mind. God showed me this just a few days ago. So I don't expect you to just get as much as you can of it, but this is pretty crazy. Okay? I keep doing all this. I can't find one thing to say this isn't true. This is true. Okay? So fold is so powerful that ultimately it's limitless. Even 100-fold is limitless. Actually, 100-fold is impossible. You can't get 100-fold outside of God. It's limitless. So let me give you an example. You may have heard this. It's an old, you may have had this in math when you was in high school. But if you get a chessboard, okay, and a grain of rice. Anyone heard that? A chessboard and a grain of rice. You get a chessboard and a grain of rice. People take notes. I'm going to get a chessboard. How many grains? White, brown, doesn't matter. Just get a chessboard and a grain of rice. And if you put one grain of rice on the first square of the chessboard, and then the next square you put two grains of rice, and the next square you put four grains of rice, and the next square you put eight grains of rice, how many do you put on the next square? 16. How many do you put on the next square? 32. Now, I haven't got time to go all the way through it, but let me tell you what happens. Okay, so there's 64 squares on a chessboard. 64 squares on a chessboard. My friend Clay's nodding. I think he's got this. He's a numbers guy. There's 64 squares on the chessboard. Anyone want to guess how many grains of rice you get on the six? So all you're doing is doubling. And that's what a fold is. A fold is a double. So it's double, and then double, and then double, and then double. In fact, the other day I taught on the double portion. I don't even believe it. I was like, I don't know why the Lord's talking to me about the double portion. I don't really even believe about the double portion. That's Old Testament. No, you know why? Because it's double, double, double. That's what the fold is. Double, double, double. So you keep doubling. You keep doubling that rice. Keep doubling that rice. Keep doubling that rice. 64 times. So we're not talking about 100-fold. We're talking about 64-fold. You keep doubling and doubling. Just 64 times. Not 100 times. 64 times. Grain of rice. By the time you get to the 64th square, the amount of rice you have after 64 folds, the amount of rice you have, is a pile of rice higher than Mount Everest. Higher than Mount Everest. Go, I know, it's crazy. I've done Snoops, I've done all these Snopes and done all these things. It's 100%, Snoops and Snopes. It's 100% true. I don't know what it is. 100%, she gives me a hard time. It's 100% true. Look it up. Because it's compounded interest. It's the fold. It's the double. It's the fold. So when we talk about the fold, which is our 100-fold return, we're missing it. It's limitless resources. It's 100-fold. If you can't understand Mount Everest, how about this? You get them grains of rice and you put them end to end. So grains of rice are very short, right? You put them end to end. And you stretch them out end to end. People say, how many times did it go around the world, Ashley? Now forget about that. The biggest telescopes they got, they could find the furthest star in space, in the universe. Okay, it depends on what research it is, but it's around 30 billion light years away. Then grains of rice will go there, wait for it, and back again, and a little bit more. Wow. Can we start? So really, I'm 100% sure. Go home. People are like, go home and research this. Okay, we've been lied to about lack. I'm telling you, God's will for us is a 100-fold return. God's will for us is limitless, limitless off our seed. Whenever you sow a seed, whether that's a word of God, whether you're sowing an offering, it's limitless. When God made an apple tree, that apple tree was limitless because it produced seeds. And then seeds produce more trees that produce more seeds. Then trees produce more seeds that produce more seeds. Everything is limitless in God's economy. Everything is limitless in God's economy. You need to get this, guys. I'm telling you, there is no lack. We've been lied to. There is no lack. And when we start thinking there's lack, it will change the way we do things. It will change the way we operate. If you think there's lack, if God tells you, give your car away. I've had this a bunch of times. Give your car away. Okay, yes, Lord. Sometimes they're nice cars. So I give my car away. And sometimes they cry when I give it to them. Oh, I'm crying. And I turn around and I shed a little. But if you believe there's no other cars out there, if you believe you're never going to be able to have that's your only car, that's the only car in the world, why would you give it away? You'd be fearful. You wouldn't be able to give it away. If you believed, if you get an offering, you're just going to give $100 or $1,000, whatever, you thought that was the last $1,000 in the world, you'd never give it away. You need that $1,000 to buy some food. If you give that away, it's never. So we've been lied to thinking there's lack. When you think there's lack, it will change the way you operate. You think there's a lack of resources, it will change the way we operate. And I'm telling you, we have to get rid of this fear of lack. We have to get rid of this cares of this world. Because if we don't, what happens is it will choke the word of God in our life and it will stop the word of God producing in our life. I didn't write this, Jesus did. Mark 4. It will stop the word of God producing in our life if we believe there's lack. It will change our attitudes with things. It will change the way we do things. If you start believing that you serve a God who's limitless, if you start believing you serve a God, it doesn't matter what happens, he can get you more. It doesn't matter what happens, it can get you more. It doesn't matter how it goes, it can get you more. There's more opportunities for you. There's more resources for you. There's more jobs for you. There's more places for you to go. There's more people for you to touch. There's more. There's always more. If you believe that, it will change the way you run your life. It will change the way you live your life daily. So I'm here to tell you, I don't understand it all yet, but this is something I'm going to be pressing in on. I encourage you to go and meditate on this yourself. The 100-fold is limitless. It's not 100-fold. You can't count 100-fold. If they can't count 64-fold, there is no chance they can count 100-fold. The 100-fold is the double. That's why in the Old Testament it's all about the double. In the New Testament it's about the 100-fold. It's limitless. We're under the new covenant and we have limitless resources. We have limitless resources in every area of our life, praise God. So stop lack. Don't let lack talk to you anymore. And really, lack is actually mammon. Matthew 6:24. Mammon is an old English word for money, but really what that is, it's the spirit of money saying there's a lack of money. And it will make you concentrate on money or concentrate on the lack rather than concentrate on the abundance. Every time you focus on the lack, then you're making the lack bigger and you're giving it power. And you can't serve two gods, right? God says that. You've got to follow God or follow the mammon. So I'm telling you, anytime you focus on the lack, anytime there's a lack. And one of the best ways to see this is in our finances. I don't know about you, but I've a lot of the time looked at my finances and said, that's not enough. Loaves and fish. What are these few loaves and few fish? That's not enough to feed all these people. I've got this amount of money, I need this amount of money. It's not enough. You know what you do? You're focusing on the lack. Don't do that. Focus on God's abundance. Glory. Focus on God's abundance. In the natural, I haven't got physically enough money right now, but, praise God, Philippians 4:19, my God's going to supply all my needs, not according to this world, but according to his riches in glory. That means there's an abundance. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to pay whatever I need to pay, the mortgage or whatever it is, but I know the righteous never beg for bread. God's going to give me what I need to pay this. And start focusing on God's abundance. Start focusing on God's way of looking at things. And God sees things limitless, praise God. He's a God of limitless opportunities and limitless resources. I'm telling you, when you start to see this, when you start to realize God is limitless and there's no limit, there's no lack's a lie, I'll tell you what, it'll start changing things. Now, it'll just free you to give. Now, it'll just free you to, I can just do this. I can buy this person this thing. I can give because, I'm just, all I'm doing is sowing. And every time you sow, it's folding. It's folding. And it's doubling every time. And sometimes what happens is, in the area of giving, I think, is we start off with giving and we don't see much happen. Anyone been there? I'm not expecting people to be too honest about this because it can be a little bit, we're born again, we're faith and grace and we believe the word. We're not going to admit to our giving not working. I'm going to admit to you, we gave for 20 years. We married 20 years a few weeks ago. We gave for 20 years. And just recently we said, man, Why haven't we seen this powerful fold coming in? Why haven't we seen that the power of God's abundance coming back to us yet? We've seen it in small areas, but really, the amount of seed in the ground, why is it not coming back yet? And I think it was a year ago, Marcus gave us a word. He said, you know what, all the seed you've sown in the past, watch out, because it's all been folding up. And now it's, and I tell you what, now we're starting to see the harvest. But what happens is, let me tell you what happens. We give up just before the victory. We give up just before. We dig our seed up. Look, it says the farmer puts the seed in the ground and he just leaves it. He doesn't check on it night and day. He just leaves it. Now, if you dig it up and check on it, it grows night and day. He doesn't understand how. But if you dig it up and look at it, why isn't this growing? It's not going to work. So you don't have to understand it. The farmer doesn't understand how the seed grows. He just knows. He puts the seed in the ground and it grows. We don't have to understand why it works. We don't have to understand the limitless resources of God. We don't have to understand why this happens. We just have to believe it and do it. Praise God. One more scripture, and then we're going to break in a minute. But let me read this to you. Yeah. Okay. This is, look up 2 Corinthians 9:8. So remember, we're talking about when you sow something, when the seed goes in, Mark 4:20, it can produce a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So you plant the seed and it reproduces, okay? This is 2 Corinthians 9:8, again, a financial verse. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Let me tell you, there's a grace in this. We talk about the grace for healing. We talk about the grace for conquering and all these other things. But there's a grace for this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency. Financial verse is right in the middle of financial scriptures. I stole this from Clint, but if you take a text out of context, what are you left with? A con. He probably stole it from someone else, to be honest, but I have to give him credit. That's where I heard it from. So in context, financial verse, all sufficiency in all things, you may have an abundance for every good work. God wants us to a place where we have an abundance. We have limitless resources. And when we give, praise God. Now, here's the deal. You don't see all the resources at once. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Go down. Don't have to turn. Just scroll on down to verse. Scroll on down. You don't turn over anymore. You scroll down. Scroll down to verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and the increase the fruits of your righteousness. When we sow, it increases, praise God. When we sow, it increases. Proverbs 11:24, there's one who scatters, there's one who scatters and yet increases. The one who gives yet increases. Here's the thing. The way this is activated is by in your finances is sowing. You have to sow to be able to see this increase come. Okay, now, here's the deal. I'm taking a risk this morning because what I'm going to do is I want you to put, you know, James talks about faith without corresponding actions. It's dead, right? Faith without works is dead. So this is what I feel the Lord tell me to do. And my flesh, if you like, or my husband says, well, they're going to just say you're doing that to get the offering, okay? But I don't know any other way to do it. You have to put faith you have to put action to your faith. Faith without works is dead. And look, this scripture says the seed that you sow increases. The seed that you sow, okay? You see that? It's not the seed that you're thinking about sowing. It's not the seed, well, one day I'm going to give. When I have enough money, when I have an extra money, I'm going to give. No, only the seed you sow, not the seed you think about sowing. It's the seed you sow, it multiplies. I don't understand how it works. All I can tell you is, me and Carly have been giving like crazy, and now we're getting so many opportunities, so many things coming to us so fast, we don't know what to do with it. We need some help. It's like, I mean, we're able to do so much ministry. When we started out, it was like, we want to reach the world for Jesus. We want to empower the believers in the promises of God. Are you with me on that? We want to empower the believers in the promises of God. So we want as many people as possible to hear how good God is and his will for their life. We want as many people to hear the good news. We want many people to hear the true gospel. So we want to communicate that. So we'll do a once a week Facebook Live. That costs money. It's like 6 or 7 people tweaking knobs and filming cameras and doing all these types of things. I don't know what they do. It costs money to do that. Once a week. We could just about do it. I was a little bit shaky in our ministry account. Just about do it. We did it. We carried on giving. Kylie said, we need to do a daily show. Andrew Womack gave us a daily slot on his gospeltruth.tv. If you haven't checked it out yet, gospeltruth.tv. Anyone seen gospeltruth.tv? Just go on any internet browser and type in gospeltruth.tv. I hope you watch it because it costs us thousands of dollars to do it. So, it'd be nice if you watched it. But anyway, so go on, guys. We have a daily show on there now. We're getting testimonies from around the world of people hearing for the first time how good God is. People hear for the first time, it's God's will for me to be healed. You're saying it's God's will for me? Yes, it's God's will. God's not doing this to teach you something. God's not doing this to you know, God's not allowing this. It's God's will for you to be healed. And they're hearing that for the first time. They're hearing for the first time. You're telling me that God's already forgiven my sin? You're telling me that God already loves me and I haven't got to do anything to accept his love? I just say yes. You're telling me that this is, yes. So we're getting testimonies like that, praise God. But it cost us money to do that. But you know what we did? We sowed. We sowed. God told us a number of times to sow big checks. In the flesh, I'm just being honest, in the flesh, it just type of hits me a little bit. So all I know is I know when you give, it comes back to you. And that's where the fold takes place. When you give financially. So I'm talking about finances, about how to access the abundance. I had all these other things to teach before a few days ago. And God said, you can't teach people how to abound in finances without teaching them that it all comes from Jesus. Without teaching them to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did, like the fishermen did, and all the people did in John 6 when they sat at Jesus' feet and received abundance. The only way to receive abundance is sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his instruction. And you sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his instruction, he's going to show you how to abound. And the first step of that is giving. When you give, that's when it comes back. That's when the seed starts multiplying. There's other things to it. You've got to put your hand to something. God's going to show you what to put your hand to. You've got to steward what comes in, and God's going to show you how to steward what comes in. But I'm telling you, when you sit at Jesus' feet, he's going to instruct you. So we are going to take up an offering, and I'm not going to... I mean, if you think that I'm doing this just to take up the offering, that's up to you. You can think that. In fact, let me challenge you. If you think that the only reason I'm doing this is to take up the offering, and this has just been a one-hour offering talk, then you can think that. But I'm trying to set you free in this area. I'm trying to set you free so you can access abundance in this area. Our testimony is we've accessed abundance and we're seeing it come back, praise God. There's been times when God's told us to give amounts, like I said, that's been scary. We've had it to give, but that's about it. One time God said, give this, I was here, one quick story. Let's give out some envelopes, you've got time. While you're writing your checks, I can tell the story. But come if you want, they're going to hand out some envelopes. This is going to all to Teridis Ministries. We won't touch a penny of this personally. This goes to Teridis Ministries, and this is so we can get the gospel out, praise God. We've got a big vision for Teridis Ministries. I believe God's told us we've got a voice to the world. So this is where it's going. So anyway, you can give credit card, checks, whatever, cash. If you want receipted giving, envelopes are coming down the line. So don't worry about that. So accessing God's abundance 101 is giving. When you give, it gets folded, or another way of putting it, pushed down, pressed down, shaken together and running over, praise God, and then it'll run over. So I was here, I don't know how long ago it was, and there was a banquet for some missionaries, and it was at the back room there, and they set it all up with round tables and black tablecloths. It was beautiful. They had all this silverware out and everything else, and it was a banquet for a missions fundraiser. And there was a snowstorm hit, funny enough. There was a snowstorm hit, much worse than this snowstorm. This is a bad snowstorm, it was a bad snowstorm. And they'd asked me to come and be the speaker, so I made it. I made sure I actually come out and visited, made it here. So I came out. When I got here, I was really saddened because no one turned up because it was such a bad snowstorm. I mean, it was really bad. So I'm there, there's the missionary, his family, his wife, like two or three other people from church. That was it. There was just, and the whole room was set up for like 200 people. I know, oh, right, that's so sad. There's like, the room was set up for like 200 people. So we had a lot of food. It was awesome. There was a limitless amount of food then. So we had all the food. And I spoke about the offering, about giving and everything else. And I put a good offering in, a couple hundred bucks, I think, for my ministry, personally, I put it in there. And then I turned around and walked out of there. And started praying in the Holy Ghost for the first time that day. I was just walking down the corridor there, just praying the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, and just praying. And right like that, God said, that money you got in that account, in your savings account, that you've saved up for the down payment on that house you're going to buy, he said, turn around and give that to that missionary. So I did what any person of grace and faith and power would do. I'd go, I rebuke you, devil. That must be the devil. I can't hear you, Lord. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, but that's all I've got. I mean, that's all I've got to buy a house. So this must have been before we even purchased our house here. This is probably 8 years ago. I said, that's all I've got. He said, that's fine. That's all I'm asking you to give. I was like, whew, got to sit down here. There we go. So I called my wife. I said, honey, I said, listen, God's told me to give X amount of money. She said, that's all we've got. I said, that's all he asked us to give. Aren't you glad he didn't ask you to give more? She said, you don't even know this missionary. You just met him for the first time. I said, I know, but I know God. And God's told me to give it. So she said, if you're sure it's God, give it. So I turned around. I actually had to go the next day. Went to the bank. Saw him the next day. He came to meet me. I said, I need you to come and meet me. And his friend was with me. He said, well, it's snowing and stuff. I'm not sure he wants to meet you. I said, no, let me tell you. He'll be glad when he meets me. I said, hey, look, God told me to give you this last night. Here it is. And he took it. He was crying. I was crying. And then he told me this. He said, that's the amount of money he needed to finish building his Bible school. And he has a Bible school in Burma, and he's graduating tens of students all the time. I think he sent me news that he just graduated another 35 students. And these are getting taught in grace and faith and power, praise God. They're going out and changing up Asia. It's awesome. That's how much money he needed to build that whole Bible school. And he's been believing God for it and got it in one go. Amen. I then get in my truck and drive down the road. And I'll never forget this. I'm driving down the road and I'm worshiping God. I feel lighter. I mean, not just in the natural. I feel lighter. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm just driving down the road. Thank you, Lord. And I heard the voice of God as clear as I've ever heard him. And he said, thank you. Wow. I had to pull over. I was crying. Thank you. And I said, excuse me, Lord, thank you. Like, who am I? He said, thank you. He said, I've been trying to get that money to that missionary for a long time. He said, and I haven't been able to get it to him. But you had it on your radar. You was already in that. You're already in that mindset that when I tell you to give, you give. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm here to tell you now, we've received over 100 times what came in there. And it's not about the money. It really isn't. That's the funny thing. Anyone who makes it about the money is really missed the point. It's about our hearts. It's about sitting at Jesus' feet. It's about doing what he tells us to do. I'm telling you what, it's God wants to set you free from this lack mentality. God wants to set you free from the cares of this world. He wants to look after your needs. You're not meant to look after your needs. God wants to look after your needs. Look at the birds of the air. Do they sow and reap? The only reason you're sowing and reaping is for increase so you can give more. We don't even sow and reap for our own needs. We have a loving Father that looks after our needs. So really, we should have no cares. Jesus said, take no thought what you'll wear, what you'll eat. Take no thought. And that's the opposite to the cares of this world. Take no thought. Just be like, Lord, I'm sitting at your feet. I don't know how it's going to work out. I've got a house full of guests. Everything's going crazy. I've got debt. I've got all these things going on. I've got to pay this, pay that, do this. I can't afford this, can't afford that. But I'm going to sit at your feet. And I'm going to listen to your word. And I'm going to listen to what you tell me. And I'm going to believe what you tell me. I'm going to listen to the word. I'm going to accept it for myself. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And if you tell me to do this, yes, sir. If you tell me to do that, yes, sir. And you'll know whether you're trusting God with your finances or not, because when he tells you to give and you go, I can't hear you, Lord, then you're probably not. If you do it, then you are. And that's why finance is the least important thing. I tell people, I like teaching on the least important thing. It's the least important thing. True riches, our relationship with God, people, infinitely more important than finances. We're not even going to have money in heaven. It's the least important thing. But what it does is, it's a reflection of our heart. It's our hearts and our finances are tied. So when God has our finances, he has our hearts. And I'm telling you, I don't understand it all, but it works. When you give, when God tells you to give and you give, something happens. I'm telling you, something happens. Doors open, things happen. I tell you, it's amazing. It's something happens. I'm going to tell you one last story, and then we'll take out the offering. Power giving. Here, this is a fresh one. What night was that? Wednesday night. And you know, it's funny, we tell testimonies about healings, and everyone's like, whoop, 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 tell testimonies about finances. Who do you think he is? You think some sort of big shot man is going to... I can tell you, and you know, anyway, so I'm just going to get over it now. I'm like, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to boast on Jesus. Amen. And you know what, if Jesus prospers me financially, I'm going to boast about it. When Jesus heals me, I'm going to boast about it. So I'm stood down here again. A lot happens in that chair, Sharon, be careful. I'm sat down here. We had the leadership conference last week, and Pastor Barbara Badu, the senior pastor at Caris, she had a word in the car on the way to church that I should take up the offering. So Pastor Lawson phoned me and said, take up the offering. I said, yes, sir. So I'm in that chair, and I thought, I'm just praying, and I felt God say, well, I asked Pastor how much he needed for the offering, and how much he was believing for, and he told me. So I said, I was praying. I felt God said, you know what? You could give that amount. I said, woo. So I said to Carly, God wants us to basically match the offering. So whatever comes in, we're going to give the amount that he's believing for. And Carly said, you better be sure it's God. So I said, it's God. I said, I'm 80% sure. 80%, Ben, 80%. It's close enough, that's what I'm thinking. So I nearly didn't do it. I thought, man. But you know what, I don't know about you, I want to be out where the big fruit grows. I want to be out on the limb. So if you can take a risk, why not take a risk on the side of faith? Why not take a faith risk? I'd rather crash spectacularly doing something than staying safe and not doing anything. So I did it. So I matched the offering. Wrote the check. Lots of tears shed for various reasons. And then the next speaker gets up and speaks. And again, this is Jesus. Changes his whole message. Speaks about basically does the second half of my offering talk. He wasn't here on the Wednesday morning because the airport was on fire and he couldn't land on Tuesday. So he missed Wednesday morning session when I spoke. And I spoke on Mark 4:19. I spoke on those three things. Cares this world, seek for his riches, lust for other things. Then I did the offering. Then, so he never heard that. He got up and talked Mark 4:20 and talked about the 30, 60, 100 fold. And it all fit together. Listen to this. We got in triple what we needed on the offering. Triple. Me and this pastor who was speaking here, spent a lot of time together and continue to. And now he's given me an opportunity for our ministry to be able to speak to literally tens of thousands of people. Literally, in 2 weeks' time, I'm honored to be able to speak to literally tens of thousands of people in Texas. And they said, now on Saturday, we're going to have to video your message. I'm like, aren't I preaching Sunday? Yeah, you're preaching Sunday, but on Saturday you've got to video your message because then your message goes out to all our other campuses. I said, what do you mean all your other campuses? Well, we have these other campuses all around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so they're going to watch it on the screen, and then on Sunday morning you're going to be in Irving. I'm like, okay, Irving. I said, yeah, that's the three services that you're going to teach. And tens of thousands of people I get to teach in 2 weeks. Amen? So it's never about the money. It's about God trying to get something to us. It's about God trying to get opportunities to us. It's about God trying to break down barriers. It's about God trying to get things to us, praise God, in all different ways. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things can choke that word. And I'm telling you, when you give, it's like you're saying, no, I'm going to let God be my master. I'm going to let God be my master. And you watch how it overflows in other areas, praise God. I'm telling you, it's powerful. If you need more explanation, because I haven't been able to balance it out of other things, I'd encourage you to get my book again. It's at the back there because it will give the balance to what I'm saying today. Because I do really believe you've got to put your hand to something. Don't be lazy. I really believe you've got to steward what God's given you. But ultimately, sit at Jesus' feet, enjoy his presence, and he's going to tell you exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And he'll give you opportunities you could never have mustered up yourself in 1,000 years of running around doing a Martha. You've never been able to do it. So just sit at Jesus' feet and you watch how he can do one. He can open a door for you that it'll take you 1,000 years to open. Amen. Let me pray over this offering. I want to pray for you as well. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for this offering. I thank you, Lord, that these finances are going to spread the gospel, to spread the true message of your love and grace around the world. I thank you for people being healed and set free through this offering in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that these finances are going to go from just something that's material to something spiritual. They're going to turn into true riches because people are going to hear your love for the first time. Lord, I pray this offering is going to send people around the world to hear your message. I pray that people are going to be able to hear your love and the truth of who you are, who have never heard it before. How can they hear unless a preacher tells them? How can a preacher go unless they're sent? I believe this offering is going to send the good news of God around the world. And I thank you, Lord, that we're already going to the nations, and I thank you, Lord, this is going to enhance that and it's going to multiply that. In Jesus' name. I thank you for everyone giving. I thank you for people giving by faith today. I thank you, Lord, you multiply. I thank you, there's no limit with you and your resources. There's no lack. There's no limit. I thank you, Lord, you're limitless. Lord, we thank you for the 100-fold return. We thank you for a limitless return on seed. We thank you, Lord, that seed has no limit. And this is, we're turning our money into seed and it's going to have no limit. I thank you, Lord, this seed is coming back to us. This seed is coming back to us so we can give more and do more for your kingdom, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for these seeds sown today. And I thank you, Lord, for doors of opportunity opening. Doors of opportunity. There's people here giving and you're believing for jobs. Then jobs are going to open up. Monday morning, mark my words. Monday morning, you're going to be offered jobs. In fact, jobs. It wasn't job. Jobs. So you're going to have to find out which one to turn down and use wisdom because opportunity is coming your way. This is going to break down barriers because, you know, what's happening today is going to break down barriers and things are going to open up. Things that you've been waiting for years are going to open up in Jesus' name. We're going to have great testimonies over the next few weeks, praise God, from this offering. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen? Praise God. You can receive the offering. And I want to pray for you real quick before you dismiss. So go ahead and receive the offering. And while you're seated doing that, I want to pray for you. I want to really pray that some of what I've said today is you're going to understand this fact because I feel it's heavy on God's heart. He doesn't want you trying to work this out. He doesn't want you running around trying to make this happen. And even by faith, we run around and try and make it happen. Even in the name of faith, we try and run around. In the name of grace, we say, well, we're going to... No, just sit at his feet. He's got instructions for you. He wants to pour his love on you. He wants to just show you things, new things. So stop busying yourself, running around, just sit at Jesus' feet. So I believe there's some people that need to hear that. So let me pray for you collectively, and then I guess I need to pray for the food as well. I should do that. That's a very right thing to do, isn't it? The food is blessed in Jesus' name. But whoever that is, I want to pray for you, and it might be multiple people. Father God, Lord, we repent of running around. Let's do that. Let's repent. In fact, if you feel like you've been running around, if you feel like that's where we are. If you can stand, and everyone's watching you, there's no heads bowed and eyes closed, because. You can stand. If that's you, if you've been running around and trying to make it happen, if you've been running around trying to work things out in your own strength, then stand, because God wants to set you free from this right now in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord. Right now, I pray for every person standing. I thank you, Lord, that they are going to quit the running around. I thank you, Lord, they're going to do a Mary and they're going to sit at your feet and they have chosen the one good thing and it will not be taken away from you. I hear the Lord saying this. You think that's all very well, but you think if you sit at Jesus' feet, then what else is going to happen? It's going to be, no, it will not be taken away from you. The resources are going to come. This will be the best decision. This will not be anything you regret. You will never regret spending time with God. So I thank you, Lord, for everyone standing. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a paradigm shift in our thinking. And we're going to put you first. We're going to sit at your feet first. Even though our natural mind will be telling us otherwise, even though our friends and family might tell us otherwise, I thank you, Lord, we're going to sit at your feet and listen to your instructions. I thank you, Lord, we're going to sit at your feet and enjoy your presence. And I thank you, Lord, we haven't even got to sit and even struggle to listen. We just got to sit and it'll just be natural. I thank you, we're just going to sit and it's going to be such a natural. I believe God wants to take people into a new level in their relationship. God wants to take you to a new level. I feel God saying this. Do you remember when it was just me and you? He wants to go back to just you and him. Just sit at his feet. It's the best thing you can do for your family. It's the best thing you can do for your spouse. It's the best thing you can do for your kids. It's the best thing you can do for your parents. Just sit at his feet and let him pour into you. And he's got so much for you. It's limitless. Amen. If you receive that, give the Lord a hand, praise God. Amen. God's good.